Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good morning, Dermot Whelan here, sitting in for Oliver. It's Monday, the 15th of September, and I'm with you till 10. Fair windy today, lads, in the east, but all thoughts are with the weather for ploughing. What will it be like? Will we be lashing on the factor 50 or blowing across the fields like a suburban trampoline? Hopefully we won't be just traipsing around in the mud. And if you're going to it, hope you're looking forward to it. We're going to see you down there. We'll be down at the ploughing tomorrow in County Offaly. Let us know what you are thinking in the usual way. You can text 51551 or you can WhatsApp us 087 032 32 32. Or you can send longer thoughts into us by email to oliver@rte.ie. Sure, look it. We've a great show for you this morning. The Traitors. What an episode last night. We are watching it. Talk about twists and turns. More twists and turns than Corkscrew Hill in the Burren. We had a recruitment. Four contestants put on death row on a mission that could save only one of them. My wife and I are truly obsessed with the Traitors at the moment, as I know many of you are as well. We also had more mansplaining. Bless. And a very tense round table with a tie and a revote, all presided over by the brilliant Siobhan McSweeney, who of course is the host of the show. The Traitors is officially now the biggest TV show of the year, so far beaten only by the All-Ireland and Six Nations games. That is pretty impressive. Later on, I'm going to be chatting to last night's evictee from the castle and our very own Traitors correspondent, author Vicky Notaro, who has her own unique take on the episode. And do the words Mokanilook give you the fear? What are your memories of learning Irish in school? Because our guest this morning is calling on us all to disentangle ourselves from the way we were taught Irish. Easier said than done. But no better woman to do it. Molly Guidera, known as Moonchore Molly online, says we need to drop the shame and the fear and learn to love it. Amen to that. Now, I want to get to the Emmy goodie bags in a sec. You'll probably listen to the Emmy news throughout the morning. But I wanted to mention somewhere really cool that I visited over the weekend. Ever since I was a kid, I've always been very drawn to ancient sites and monuments. And some I visited by choice and others I was dragged to on school tours, like many of you as well. But I went to a very interesting place over the weekend, and it's called Navan Fort. Now, one of the most interesting things about Navan Fort is that it's not in Navan. It's in County Armagh. It's a couple of miles outside Armagh City. And I met a couple of friends up there who are also into exploring these things. And we had a ball on Saturday afternoon getting to know this seriously impressive ancient site. It was basically, Navan Fort was basically the VIP lounge of Iron Age Ireland, where the kings of Ulster hung out, told mad stories and occasionally got into heroic scraps with mythical beasts. And according to legend, this is where Cú Chulainn trained to become a warrior, so deadly he makes Jason Statham look like some lad with a Nerf gun. It's an amazing sight. There's even talk of goddesses, sacrifices and portals to other worlds, which, to be fair, could also describe a night out in Navan Town, but that's a different place altogether. So whether you're into archaeology, mythology, or just like the idea of standing on a hilltop shouting, "I am Cú Chulainn," into the wind, this place is perfect. It has a lovely visitor centre. And they've got actors as well that help get immersed in Iron Age Celtic life. And there's a cafe and all that. It does a mean cappuccino and the staff are all very friendly. But some interesting things up there. Digs from the 60s showed evidence of a great wooden temple on the site. So this was obviously very important. And they also even found the skull of an African Barbary ape underneath it when they did the digs. And that skull dated back to the 2nd century BC. So somebody clearly went on their holidays. It was also the mythological seat of the ancient kings and queens of Ulster and was a very important site in Irish history, as I mentioned. It's even mentioned by 2nd century map maker Ptolemy. He called it Isamnion. So that just shows you how important it was. But it is said to have been the capital of the Ulla tribe, the proud people of Ulster, and was named after the powerful goddess Macha, who is associated with the land of Ulster. And there are many tales of Macha's exploits, including one from the very site from which the site got its name. You see, Macha was one of the Tuatha De Danann, the mythical race of gods and goddesses. And she had a special power, and lots of special powers compared to regular humans. But she fell in love with the commoner and made him swear to never share her true origins with anyone. But in true blokish form, the hubby had a few ales at the Cranogue pub at night and started bragging to people that his wife was special, that she could outrun the king's horses. And of course, the chieftain heard of this and then commanded her to be brought to race the horses. But she was heavily pregnant, Macca was, but she was forced to race regardless. She wins the race, but collapses in exhaustion at the finish line and goes into labour, giving birth to twins. And in her dying breath, she curses the men of Ulster that in their time of greatest need, they would be struck down with the pain of childbirth, with the curse to last for generations. And then the two mounds up there at the site were given the name Avon Vacha, the twins of Macca. But according to someone I spoke to yesterday, that curse on the Ulster men was due to run out in 2020. Now, I don't know if this theory adds up on the old folklore timeline, but who won the All-Ireland football in 2021? Tyrone. And who won in 2024? Armagh. Coincidence? Well, yes, probably. Or is this resurgence in six county football the result of the lifting of Macca's curse? Again, probably the former. But it is a beautiful part of the island and I'm determined to explore more of Armagh and its historical gems. And as I lay down on the grass at the pregnant mound of Navan Fort, Éamon Macca, and watch the clouds drift by gently in the Ulster skies over this ancient home of mythical gods and goddesses, I thought to myself, isn't it so amazing what we'll do to get a few hours away from the kids? A 4-hour round trip up to the north in the lashing rain? Bliss! Now, as we heard, there was no Irish winners at the Emmys. I was glad Severance won a few because I absolutely loved that show, but I was disappointed my favourite show of the last year, Star Wars Andor, didn't win more. I know we're also jaded by bad productions in the Star Wars universe. We welcome new ones with all the enthusiasm of a novelty-flavoured bag of crisps. But Andor really is a brilliant series. It's basically just a really exciting war and espionage series that happens to be set in space. So don't write it off simply because it has the Star Wars label on it. And one of the screenwriters with the series, Dan Gilroy, took home Outstanding Writing in a Drama Series at the Emmys for the 9th episode in the latest season, which was called Welcome to the Rebellion. And in his acceptance speech, Gilroy touched on the series' ethos of finding hope in dark times, which we definitely need now. And he thanked the cast, and in particular, Genevieve O'Reilly, an Irish-Australian actress who plays Mon Mothma. She was left out of this year's acting nominations, which some sites say was a snub that fans and critics alike flagged as one of the Academy's most glaring oversights. So they really feel that Genevieve should have got a shout. Other Irish cast members in the series include Fiona Shaw, who's absolutely one of my favourite actors, and Denise Goff, who's also brilliant in the series. So if you're trapped in telly purgatory these days and are on the hunt for a new obsession, check out Andor on Disney Plus. You won't regret it. So when we're talking about Emmys, though, the most important part is the goodie bags. These big award ceremonies like to hand out goodie bags. And it's basically, you know, a far more elaborate and elegant version of what people will be walking around with at ploughing. You know, instead of biros with the IFA written on the side of it, these things are a little bit more upmarket. Straight off the bat are the expected beauty bits, from beekeepers' products to heel balm. How are your heels today? It has beauty tech too, like electric flossers. So electric toothbrushes, we know. Electric flossers are now a thing. And a red light sleep mask, which are all the rage. And of course, there's vouchers in there too, including a $2,000 voucher for personal training, which I wonder would anyone take as an insult. You know, if somebody gives you a voucher for a PT session, you're like, thanks. There's some fashion bits in the Emmy goodie bag too, including a PETA collaboration faux leather bag. And I have to mention the kids, because with younger nominees, they've stuck some toys into, like slime, still popular, Play-Doh Barbie, and a Huggimals teddy bear. And most interestingly, a 60 quid tea tasting chest, because apparently tea is all the rage now. It's getting even more fashionable. And when I read this, I thought, actually, here's a thing I would love your opinion on. I was only remembering this week that my parents had something in their bedroom that seems quite shocking these days. Easy. It was a tea maker. A tea maker you put beside the bed. A whole tea making machine that you put beside the bed, complete with old fashioned alarm clock that began making your tea before you awoke. And like so many things from the 80s, like snorkel jackets and moving statues, it just seemed so normal at the time to have this thing beside the bed. I don't know about you, but I can't seem to reach my phone by the bed at night without knocking over a glass of water. So the prospect of having boiling water inches from my face isn't an attractive one. And I also think these machines were possibly not a reflection of how obsessed our parents were about tea, but possibly a reminder to us of just how cold our houses were back then. You know, these days we think nothing of nipping downstairs and put on the kettle. But back then, the scalding tea had to be less than a foot from your head before you were brave enough to navigate the freezing temperatures and the bungalows without insulation. But I wonder, did anyone else have them? Did anyone else have a tea maid or a tea maker in their house? Or was my family just particularly Dallas or Dynasty? 51551. They're the kinds of things, though, you could see becoming very cool again, couldn't you? Like if one TikToker buys one and then suddenly everybody wants one at Christmas and they're completely sold out. Yeah, you can let us know. 51551. So going to play a tune. Oh yes, the Monkees. Is that what we're going to go for? Yeah. We decided we'd go with the Monkees today because I don't know about you. Do you remember on Saturday mornings when you would wake up and I'm not sure if it was before Anything Goes or part of Anything Goes, but part of the Saturday morning TV in RTE was the Monkees, that TV show. And the chap in the band who wrote this, Bobby Hart has passed away. So we thought we'd play this Monkees track to wake us all up on a Monday. Oh, that's such a class tune, isn't it? Last Train to Clarksville, The Monkees, written by Bobby Hart, who was a key part of the Monkees multimedia empire. Think of him as basically Simon Cowell or Louis Walsh for the Monkees, if either of them could actually write tunes. And Bobby wrote that tune. He wrote Hey Hey, We're the Monkees and I'm Not Your Stepping Stone, which is a great tune as well. And so he passed away. He was 86. If you don't remember the Monkees, they were a made-for-television group in the 60s in the US. There was always controversy because people went, oh, what? They don't even write their own songs? Which, of course, is fairly normal these days. But back then it was a big thing, a big scandal, though it was a Saturday morning staple on RTE in the early 80s. That's when I remember it from. And that was their first number one hit, Last Train to Clarksville. You can get in touch with us, as many of you have, on 51551. And I was talking about teas maids and wondering, I remember my parents had one. And I was wondering, was it normal or were we just fancy dens? Francis says, teas maid were very fashionable and expensive back in the 60s. I didn't even know they went back that far. I remember my aunt having one and we were very impressed. And I have a Nespresso machine beside my bed, says someone. The modern day tea's made. OK, I didn't know people were bringing the Nespressos into the bedroom, but sure, whatever you're into. Alison says, very proud owner of a tea's made here in County Kildare. Recently purchased and all. Can't believe we let such a clever invention stay in the 80s. We've been missing a trick and we're getting tons and tons of other messages coming in with people who have tea's made. I had a tea maker when I was pregnant with my first child, who is now 50 years old, says Maureen. And yes, my mum and dad had one. And yeah, loads of people enjoying a tea's made. So that's a thing. Maybe they're making a comeback or maybe they're just still hanging around because they're very, very handy. Nice to be woken up by a cup of tea if there's no one else in the house who's willing to make you one. OK, well, look, coming up in a few minutes, we have got a very special guest for you. Do the words Mo Canela give you the fear? What are your memories of learning Irish in school? Because our guest this morning is calling on us all to disentangle ourselves from the way we were taught Irish. Molly Guideret, known as Moonchore Molly Online, says we need to drop the shame and the fear and learn to love the bloss. It's on the way.